it involves an interpretation of what's a so-called QI-TAM litigation or lawsuits, which are a category of lawsuits that are brought by citizens, very often by defense contractors who uncover fraud. And what they do is they find a lawyer, and there are law firms that specialize in this kind of litigation that take these cases, usually on a contingency fee. And they the lawyer then files a lawsuit in federal court under seal. And the Department of Justice takes a look at it. The Department of Justice decides if they want to join the suit, and it's a way of encouraging citizens who view fraudulent practices to come forth, bring the action, disclose it, let the government find out about it, and discourage what some have called a culture of fraud that existed in the 1980s. So it's a whole cottage industry that's developed, and it's actually saved the government many, many billions of dollars that they've recovered. But these whistleblowers get about 15 to 25% of the recovery, and depending on the case and depending on upon a formula that's used, if the recovery is successful. So there are significant cases, but the specific issue the Supreme Court was hearing, there are some exceptions, and if somebody brings one of these QI-TAM cases based upon publicly available information, particularly if it's a federal report or a federal audit, then the court loses, federal court loses jurisdiction. So the Supreme Court was deciding whether that publicly available information extends to state and local reports, because that, in that particular case, someone from I believe it's the state of North Carolina, had disclosed the wrongdoing, and the state had actually undertaken an examination of the problem, but the federal government didn't know about it.
So I wonder if the stimulus bill, with all this increased level and scrutiny of spending by states and localities that originates with the federal government, does
that... You're very astute to pick up on that, because that was exactly my my observation when I saw that the Supreme Court was reconsidering this issue. It issued a rather landmark decision on these QI-TAM cases back in 2007. But as it was considering it again, there is a very specific provision in the American Recovery and Readjustment Act, which talks about, or excuse me, Reinvestment Act, which talks about whistleblowers and encourages, and in fact tasks the Inspector General's office as a federal agency to do investigations and to take certain actions on behalf of whistleblowers from government contractors and from state and local governments. So there's a real interconnection now between the federal government and state and local governments that didn't used to exist. And I don't think we've seen even the beginning of the types of whistleblowing fraud that's likely to be disclosed. And I think we're going to see a real uptick in these QI-TAM cases on the Recovery Act.
We're talking with Bill Bransford, partner of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. And I was wondering, Bill, if the Supreme... Yeah, you probably began to answer this question, but if the Supreme Court rules in favor of the plaintiff, who is the one that's found this information, which the state says they were already investigating, if she prevails and can be rated as a whistleblower and win the QI-TAM case, what do you think that means for QI-TAM cases?
Well, I think it means a slight expansion of who can bring these cases and under what circumstances. But perhaps a slight expansion at this time, it might be a little bit bigger because of the Recovery Act provisions. So I think you're going to see more people that can bring them, an expansion of the areas. Now, what the government argued? So the government was actually on the side of the plaintiff in this case. Keep in mind that this woman down in North Carolina who brought this action filed it under seal as a QI-TAM case. Department of Justice said, yes, you're right, this is a fraudulent matter, and the Department of Justice joined her on the case and is arguing now that state audits should not preclude federal court jurisdiction on a QI-TAM case, and that's the issue. And of course, I guess the news reports indicate the Supreme Court the questioning exhibited some skepticism about whether the government, U.S. government, is correct in its position. But I think it would be an expansion of what the QI-TAM litigation means if, in fact, the Supreme Court rules in favor of the plaintiff.
I mean, when they set up the recovery.gov site to list all of the spending under recovery, I think the expression from Earl Devaney, the chairman of the Recovery and Accountability Transparency Board, and others, was that we hope to create, as they put it, a million inspectors general, that is, citizens watching this data. And there's a button on the recovery.gov site where you can report what you think might be fraud and abuse. So it sounds to me that depending on how the Supreme Court goes, and given this backdrop of Recovery Act, there could be a huge increase in the number of citizen suits.
It could be significant, particularly when the word gets out that individuals who bring these actions can, in fact, get a very significant portion of the recovery themselves, just simply for bringing the matter to the attention of the government. So the significance of these cases, if you put your complaint in a certain format and put the government, deliver the government's case to it and wrapped up with a pretty ribbon on it, and the government decides to take it, then you don't have to really do very much else. The government takes over your litigation, and it's a good way for someone who has a public interest in mind and sees wrongdoing and wants to correct it to also be rewarded for that.